All right, so today we're diving into Mothers and Sons
Okay.
by Adam Hazlett.
Yeah.
And wow,
It's a good one.
it really got under my skin.
Yeah, this is one of those that just like sits with you for a while, I
Yeah.
think. Hazlitt's really good at kind of pulling you into the emotional world of the characters.
Right.
You really feel like you've lived like a whole lifetime with them by the end.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I found so fascinating about it was how he weaves together these seemingly disparate worlds. You got the high stakes world of asylum law in New York City,
Right.
and then this like tranquil retreat center in Vermont.
Yeah.
So you get this really interesting kind of tension
Yeah,
between,
it's like these different ways we try to cope with like being
the
alive.
really harsh realities.
Yeah, some people like Peter like to confront it head on,
Yeah.
and some people like his mom Anne are
Peak
like,
solace.
yeah, they want to go inward.
So let's talk about Peter for a second.
Okay.
He's a lawyer specializing in asylum cases.
Yeah.
And
Big
the
killer.
cases that Hazlett writes about are
Yeah.
really heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
He doesn't shy away from the brutal realities that these asylum seekers have faced.
No.
I mean, we're talking like gang violence,
Right.
persecution, the kind of trauma that would just like,
It's really rough.
yeah, just leaves you reeling.
And it's interesting too because I think Peter isn't just like going through the motions with these cases. You can tell he's like really invested.
Right.
And it really like takes a toll on him.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder like how much empathy can one person hold
Right.
before they break?
Yeah. It's like he's absorbing their pain
Yeah.
almost as if it were his own.
Totally.
One of the clients, Sandra Moya, fled Honduras after witnessing her brother's brutal murder.
It's awful.
And her asylum hearing
Oh my gosh.
was so intense, I was like on the edge of my seat reading it.
I bet.
And that's just one example.
Right.
You know,
There's
there's
others.
another client, Vazel, a young man from Albania seeking asylum for reasons that he's initially hesitant to reveal.
Yeah, he's a more mysterious character. You don't really know why he's there at
And
first.
has it kind of like slowly peels back the layers of his story.
Yeah, it's good.
It creates this incredible sense of mystery and suspense.
It makes you realize like how little you know about what
Yeah.
other people are going through.
Right. And like the silent battles that they're fighting.
Yeah.
And for someone like Peter, who's already grappling with his own demons, you know, taking on these cases is just like stepping into a minefield of emotional intensity. And speaking of demons, there are hints early on that something traumatic happened in Peter's past.
Yeah, like right away you get the sense that there's something
Yeah.
more to the story.
Something involving another young man named Jared.
Right.
And this haunting memory seems to be resurfacing as he's working with Vassal. It's almost like the two cases are mirroring each other.
Yeah, he's drawn to this case because it like resonates with something in him,
Right.
like something unresolved
Right.
deep down.
Exactly.
So he keeps on getting pulled back to it.
Right. And then,
And then there's like a whole other side of the book with
yeah,
his mom.
this whole other world
Yeah, and the retreat center.
with Anne
Yeah.
and the retreat center, Veriditas.
Veritatis.
Even the name,
It sounds so peaceful.
it evokes the sense of like, growth and renewal,
Totally.
like a return to something essential.
It is described as this really idyllic place, like a
Yeah. It's
haven
like nestled in the Vermont countryside.
out in the woods
Yeah.
where people can go to like get away from it all
Right.
and reconnect with themselves.
It's such a stark contrast to Peter's life in the city,
Right.
where he's constantly surrounded by noise and chaos
All the time.
and just the weight of other people's trauma.
Right.
I kept imagining what it would be like to just like, escape to a place like that
Oh, yeah.
and just like breathe and let go of everything for a while.
Yeah. I think the thing about the retreat, though, is that it's not all like sunshine and roses. You
Right.
know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
It's clear that even in this like seemingly utopian space,
Right.
people are still grappling with their inner turmoil.
Right.
It's like they've brought their baggage with them,
Yeah.
and the retreat becomes this like pressure cooker where all of that like starts
Quiet.
to come out. You
Right.
know, like
Yeah.
there's one character, Deborah, she's a hospital chaplain,
Okay.
and she's like completely burned out.
Right.
She's questioning like her entire life,
Right.
her purpose.
And she goes to the retreat hoping for some answers,
Yeah.
but it ends up being more of a reckoning
Right.
with your own doubts and fears.
It's not always like
Yeah.
finding peace.
Right.
It's more about like,
Confronting.
yeah, confronting what you've been avoiding.
And then you've got Anne,
Peter's mom,
right? Peter's mother,
who runs the retreat.
who runs the retreat with her partner, Claire.
Interesting relationship.
their relationship is so interesting.
Clearly love each other a lot.
Right.
But there's like this underlying tension.
Yeah.
Like they're both on different paths.
Right.
And then there's like this other element, like this undercurrent of tension between Peter and his mother.
Right.
You get the sense that there's like years of unspoken words,
right,
unresolved conflict.
Maybe even some buried secrets.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's like they're both trying to reach out to each other, but there's this like wall between them.
Makes you wonder how much of their current dynamic is rooted in the past.
Right. How much of it is like comes from their history.
Like the choices that they've made, the things they've left unsaid.
I think Hazlitt's saying that family relationships are really complicated.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They're these intricate tapestries woven together with love and loss and all the messy complexities of human emotion.
Yeah. And the great thing is he doesn't offer any like easy answers or resolutions.
Yeah.
He just presents the characters and their flaws and their vulnerabilities.
And leaves us to grapple with the questions.
Yeah. Just leaves you thinking about it afterwards.
It's the kind of book that makes you want to like call your own mother.
Oh, you know? That's nice.
Just to, like, hear her voice.
Yeah.
And maybe try to bridge those unspoken gaps.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it makes you a little hesitant.
Makes you a little hesitant.
Right.
Knowing that sometimes the past is better left undisturbed.
Yeah. It's that push and pull that makes it so good.
Right. So we've got Peter struggling with the weight of his client's stories.
Yeah.
And his own haunting past.
Right.
And then we've got Anne.
Yeah.
Seeking solace in the serenity of the retreat center.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere in the middle is this complex, often strained relationship between mother and son.
Right. Like right at the heart of it all.
Right. A relationship that seems to be both a source of pain and a potential path to healing.
It's a great setup. We're just getting started. We haven't even touched on the details.
Like the symbolism.
Yeah. And Hazlitt's use of language. It's just so evocative.
Yeah. He's really good at evoking those like visceral emotions.
He's a great writer.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear what you think so far.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
What's resonating with you?
Yeah.
What questions are coming up for you?
One of the things that's really striking me is how Hazlitt juxtaposes these two seemingly opposite worlds.
Mm-hmm.
The grit and grime of New York City.
Yeah.
Where Peter's dealing with, you know, the harsh realities of immigration law.
Right.
And the tranquility of the Vermont countryside.
Right.
Where Anne has created this sanctuary for introspection and healing.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if true peace
can only be found by escaping?
Can only be found by escaping the world.
Right. Or if it's something we have to cultivate within ourselves.
Right.
Even amidst the chaos.
That's such a great point.
It makes me think about Peter's attraction to these cases, too.
Right.
Like, is it purely altruism?
Yeah.
Or is there something deeper at play?
Right. Is he seeking redemption for something in his own past?
You know?
We've barely scratched the surface here.
No, we haven't.
I'm already itching to dive back into this book and uncover more of its secrets.
There's a lot more to unpack.
But for now, we'll leave you with that lingering question.
Okay.
Can true peace be found in a world filled with suffering?
Good question.
And if so, how do we find it?
Yeah.
Both within ourselves and in our connection with others.
Stay tuned for part two.
All right.
Where we'll delve even deeper into mothers and sons.
Right.
And maybe, just maybe, uncover some answers.
To those burning questions.
To those burning questions.
We'll be back in a flash.
We'll be back in a flash. One thing that really struck me about this book was how Hazlitt uses all these seemingly insignificant details.
Right.
To like build this really rich world. It's like each detail is like another brushstroke, adding more depth and texture to the characters and their relationships.
Oh, totally. Like,
I mean,
that description of Peter's apartment in Brooklyn. He's got this like fractional view of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right.
And it's such a small detail.
Yeah, but it feels so symbolic.
But it's so symbolic.
Like a metaphor for his life.
Right.
You know?
Like fragmented.
Yeah.
Incomplete.
Always searching for something.
Always reaching for something.
Yeah, just out of reach.
Just out of reach.
And then there's like the constant yapping.
Oh my gosh.
From the schnauzer next door.
The schnauzer.
It's so good.
It's funny, but it's also like kind of unsettling.
It creates this like...
It mirrors his anxiety.
Underlying sense of unease.
Yeah.
It's those little touches that really make the story come alive.
Totally. It's not just about the plot.
Right.
It's about those little details.
that reveal the characters' inner lives.
And it's not just the visual details either.
Right.
Hazlitt also uses like sensory details, like the descriptions of the food.
Oh, the food.
At Anne's retreat center.
Yeah.
Claire's like this amazing cook.
I know. She makes all this vegetarian food.
She's always whipping up these incredible vegetarian meals.
It's delicious.
I was getting hungry just reading about them.
Yeah. And they really add to like the atmosphere of the retreat. It's a sensory reminder of the peace.
Yes.
And stability that's so lacking in Peter's life.
But even with all the serenity and beauty of the retreat,
yeah,
there's this underlying tension.
There is like this sense that things aren't quite as perfect as they seem.
Right. And I think that tension is reflected in Peter's work too.
Right.
He's obviously passionate about helping his clients.
Yeah.
But you can also see how emotionally draining it is for him.
For sure.
It's like he's constantly absorbing their trauma.
Yeah.
Taking it on as his own burden.
I think there's an interesting ethical dilemma that Peter faces as an asylum lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, he has to maintain a professional distance.
Aye.
But on the other hand,
he's so empathetic.
He's like deeply empathetic and wants to connect with his clients on a human level.
It's like he's walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
Trying to find that balance between compassion and objectivity.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
It's
really tough.
And you can see how it's like wearing him down.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing him to his limits.
There's that scene where he's working with Joseph.
Okay.
The client from Sierra Leone.
Right.
And Joseph's really reluctant to share the details of what happened to him.
Right.
And you can really feel Peter's frustration.
Yeah.
Because he needs that information to build a strong case.
To help him.
But he also respects Joseph's privacy.
Right.
You know?
It highlights the power dynamic.
It does.
Inherent in that relationship.
Yeah, Peter's in a position of authority, but he's also aware of how vulnerable his clients are.
It makes you think about the complexities of empathy.
Yeah.
How difficult it is to truly understand and share another person's pain.
Right.
Without getting lost in it yourself.
It's like Peter's own past is making him hypersensitive to the suffering of his clients.
Right. It's almost as if he's trying to save them to somehow save himself.
It's really interesting.
Right.
And speaking of the past.
Yeah.
Those flashbacks to his teenage years.
Oh my gosh. So vivid.
So vivid and unsettling.
You really get the sense that something happened.
Yeah.
Between him and Jared.
Something that's left a deep scar.
Yeah.
On his psyche.
And the book keeps hinting at it.
Right.
But it never fully reveals.
It's like a puzzle box.
Right.
That's slowly being opened.
Yeah. We're still waiting to see.
But we don't get the full picture.
The whole picture.
And then there's his relationship with his mother.
Yeah, with Anne.
It's so strained.
It's full of like unspoken words and resentment. Like there are years of baggage weighing them down.
It makes you think about that bigger theme of mothers and sons, you know, the complexities and challenges of those bonds.
It's like they're both trapped in their own emotional worlds.
Right.
Unable to bridge the gap between them.
It makes you think about how often we fail to communicate with the people we love.
How those unspoken words can create these chasms of misunderstanding.
And it's not just Peter and Anne.
Right.
You see with Peter's sister, Liz, too.
Right.
She's like the carefree one.
Right. The rebellious one.
But even she has a sadness.
Right.
Beneath the surface.
It's like each character is grappling with their own version of grief and loss.
Grief and loss.
Trying to find a way to navigate those emotions.
Yeah, it's interesting how Hazlitt contrasts the way Anne and Claire approach spirituality.
Right.
Like Anne seems to have found this really deep sense of peace.
Right.
Through meditation.
She almost seems ethereal.
You know,
like detached.
Detached from the world.
From the material world.
It's like she's found a way to transcend the chaos.
Right.
Suffering.
But Claire's more practical.
She's more grounded.
More grounded.
Yeah.
She manages the retreat center.
Yeah, runs the day-to-day operations.
Seems to find fulfillment in, like, serving others.
They're a good example of how there are so many paths to spiritual fulfillment.
Right. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
No.
It's like Hazlitt saying that spirituality isn't necessarily about escaping the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding ways to cope with the complexities of human existence.
To find meaning amidst the suffering.
Which brings us back to Peter.
Yeah.
Do you think his work with asylum seekers is, in a way,
interesting,
his own form of spiritual seeking?
A good question.
It's like he's drawn to these stories of trauma and resilience.
Because they resonate with something in him.
Right.
Maybe he's trying to make sense of his own past by helping others make sense of theirs.
It's like he's seeking redemption through his work.
Trying to heal the wounds of the world.
Right.
As a way of healing his own.
Okay. So we've talked about the present-day storylines.
Right.
But let's go back to Peter's childhood
Okay.
for a moment.
Yeah.
Do you remember that cryptic message from his dying father
Oh, yeah.
about visiting his grandmother?
That was so eerie.
It was so eerie and unsettling,
Yeah.
like a ghost story waiting to be told.
Definitely piqued my curiosity.
Well, Peter finally decides to visit his grandmother,
Okay.
but not before stopping at Jared's mother's house.
Oh, wow.
He hasn't seen her since Jared's death.
I bet that was intense.
And the encounter is just filled with all this, like, unspoken tension.
Yeah.
It's like Peter's searching for answers,
Oh.
trying to piece together the fragments of his past.
Yeah.
But Jared's mother remains elusive,
Right.
guarding her secrets.
And then the visit with the grandmother?
The grandmother.
Oh my
Well,
God.
let's just say
Yeah.
she drops a bombshell.
She does.
That changes everything.
It changes everything.
It shines a light on the darkness surrounding Peter's father.
A darkness that's been haunting him his whole life.
And suddenly, so many things start to make sense.
Yeah.
It's like a key has been turned, unlocking a door
To a hidden room?
to a hidden room in his memory.
A room that holds all the answers, but
Right.
also the potential
Yes.
to unlock even deeper wounds.
It's almost too much to bear,
I
even
know.
for the reader.
It's a huge turning point in the story.
Yeah.
It makes you reevaluate everything
Right.
you thought you knew.
And that's what makes Mothers and Sons such a powerful read.
It really is.
It's not just a story.
It's an experience.
It's an experience,
Yeah.
a journey into the depths
Of human
of
emotion.
human emotion.
It's a story that stays with you
Right.
long after you close the book.
It makes you reflect on your own life, your own relationships.
Your own search for meaning.
All right, well, we've covered a lot of ground here,
We have.
but we've still got more to explore
Oh, yeah.
in part three.
Okay.
We're going to delve into the aftermath
Right.
of that bombshell revelation
Yeah.
and see how it shapes Peter's understanding of himself and his family.
Looking forward to it.
And we'll also unpack the book's ending
Okay.
and discuss some of those, like, lingering
The
questions
big questions.
and interpretations.
Get ready for a powerful conclusion
Yes.
to our deep
We'll be
dive.
back in a flash.
We'll be back in a flash.
Okay, so we left off with that bombshell from Peter's grandmother.
Right.
It, like, completely reframes his understanding of his father, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that revelation about
Yeah.
his father being sexually assaulted
During the war.
during the war, yeah. It
Wow.
just like changes everything.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It makes you think about how much of his behavior, his emotional distance, his struggles with intimacy stemmed from that unresolved trauma.
Yeah, it's like this wound that's been passed down through
Yeah. It's
generations.
affecting everyone.
Like this inherited trauma,
Yeah. It makes Peter's work with asylum seekers even more poignant, I think.
Totally, because he's surrounded by stories of trauma,
Right.
both in his personal life and his professional life. It's
Okay.
like he can't escape it.
It's like he's drawn to these cases because they mirror his own internal struggles.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to make sense of the pain in the world as a way of making sense of his own pain.
Right.
And I think that visit with his grandmother isn't just about uncovering a family secret.
No.
It's about him confronting the truth about his father.
Yeah, a truth that's been hidden for so long.
And it's like he's finally able to see his father as a human being,
Right.
flawed and wounded, but still worthy of love and compassion.
And forgiveness. I
Yes.
think forgiveness is a big part of it.
Right.
Peter's been carrying around all this anger and resentment.
Towards his father.
Yeah.
But this revelation allows him to let go of some of that.
Right.
To see his father not just as a source of pain,
Yeah.
but as his fellow sufferer.
It's a beautiful moment.
It is.
It really is.
It makes you think about the power of, like, truth and reconciliation. Like how facing the darkness, even the painful parts of our history, can ultimately lead to healing.
Yeah, you have to face it
Yeah.
to heal it.
What about Anne?
Yeah, where does she fit into all of this?
Well, it's interesting because she seems to have found a very different way of coping with the pain of the past.
Yeah.
Through her meditation practice, she's created this sense of inner peace, a detachment from the turmoil of the world.
It's like she's chosen a path of transcendence
Right.
while Peter's more drawn to like confronting the darkness
Right.
head on.
But they're both searching for the same thing.
Yeah, they're both looking for wholeness.
Right, a way to make peace with the complexities of life.
It makes their relationship even more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
They're both hurting.
Yeah, but they can't seem to reach each other.
And then there's that really beautiful scene towards the end.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Where Peter visits Anne at the retreat center.
Yeah.
and they finally have this really honest, vulnerable conversation.
Yeah, they just let it all out.
They share their pain.
Yeah.
They're longing for connection.
And it's like they're finally able to see each other.
Yeah.
Not just as mother and son.
Right, but as two individuals.
Who have been shaped by the same wounds.
And even though there's no easy resolution.
No.
You get the sense that they're taking a step towards healing, towards understanding each other a little bit better.
It's a moment of hope.
It is.
Amidst all the darkness.
What about Peter's work? Do you think he finds any resolution there?
I don't know. It's tough to say.
Yeah.
It's not about easy answers, is it?
Right.
His clients are still facing really difficult challenges.
Yeah.
The system's not always fair.
Right.
But he keeps fighting.
Yeah. He keeps advocating for them.
Even when it feels impossible.
And I think that's where the true heroism lies.
Right there.
In that unwavering commitment to justice.
Even in the face of despair.
It's like he's found a purpose, a way to channel his own pain into something meaningful.
Yeah.
And maybe by helping others, he's also helping himself to heal.
It's a bittersweet ending.
It is.
But there's hope there.
Mothers and Sons is one of those books that just stays with you.
For sure.
It's such a powerful meditation on family loss.
Yeah.
The impact of the past.
And it makes you think about the big questions.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness, the search for meaning, the complexities of human connection.
So if you haven't read it yet,
definitely check it out.
Add it to your list.
It'll change the way you see the world.
All right. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into Mothers and Sons.
We hope you enjoyed it.
We hope this conversation has sparked your curiosity.
And given you a taste of this incredible novel.
Until next time, happy reading.
Happy reading.